Wonder number five has been titled, Remember, God Uses Our Enemies to Enlarge Our Soul. And that idea of enlarging our soul is just giving us more depth in our Christian life. Opposition, helps us to be more grounded in the truth of God's Word. And you'll find yourself, when you're going through difficult times of life, you certainly will find yourself, if you humble yourself, you'll find yourself actually getting stronger. You will find that if you respond humbly to the Lord. And that's what we've been looking at. So if you're there in Psalm 56, you can say amen. Amen. All right. So we won't, let's just go ahead and read the whole Psalm. All right. Psalm 56, Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. For this I know, for God is for me. You ought to underline that right there. In God will I praise His Word. In the Lord will I praise His Word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto Thee, for Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not Thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for the Psalm 56. I pray, Holy Spirit, You would teach us, illumine our hearts and minds, Lord. Help us not only to understand the truth of it, but Lord, help us to understand how we can apply it to our lives today. Thank You again for being so faithful and good. We honor You. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, we have looked at the different aspects of this psalm. Brother Harvey actually broke it up in seven stanzas, if you will, of this song. We've looked at the first one. We've looked at how important it is to tell God how we feel. You know, when we talked about the biblical lamenting, that there's a truth to that, that God gives us liberty to pour out our complaints to Him in the sense of, God, what is going on? What are You doing, Lord? I don't understand. I'm hurting, God. I'm confused, God. Phrases like that are okay for God's people to cry out. The Father welcomes His children to come and to be totally transparent. You know, you say, well, when does it become sin? Well, I don't know. I would say my first thought would be it would become sin if we never come full circle to the faithfulness of God. Because it is the point that we are human and we are frail and we are weak. And God knows that. And He loves it when we come to Him just like we are. So we tell God how we feel. He did that in verse 1. He felt like man was just going to swallow him up. He felt like daily he was just being just pressed out of measure, as Paul would even say. Daily oppresseth me. He said, I feel like my enemies are just going to swallow me up every day. For there be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. You see, he's just pouring out his heart. He's just really expressing to God how he feels. God already knows it. But I believe he's doing it in a reverent way. But then we see, and we looked at last time, we said we need to tell God what we fear. Remember, I had you fill in the blank. What is it in your life that if you only could have this, knowing that you were going to get it, you would feel more secure? Okay? Well, whatever that is, that security, we could call it a security blanket. But honestly, whatever that is could be bringing fear into your life because you don't know for sure. And God's saying, look, you can't put your trust in that. Don't put your trust in a thing, a person, a circumstance. That's not what our complete trust has to be in. First, it has to be the Lord Himself. So we got to just say, Lord, again, being honest, Lord, I'm scared. I'm scared about this situation right here. Lord, I don't know what to do here. I'm absolutely at my wit's end, Father. Please just show me. This thing concerns me, Lord. This situation in my life, this wayward child, this situation in my job, and whatever it may be, my marriage, you just fill in the blank. God, I'm scared. I hope you're honest about that. Things in your life, you're just really, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm scared, Father. I believe it's important for you to do that. What is it in your life? We shouldn't be so prideful where we are afraid to admit areas in our life where we have fear. Because if we're all honest, I think there's a smidget of fear, if not a whole lot of fear, especially certain seasons in each of our hearts. Would we all agree to that? Things you're concerned about, things that are on your mind a lot and you just... it can overtake you. Well, he was honest about that. And it really just brings us back to what are we trusting in? And here's the wonderful thing about fear. God's grace is greater than our fear. Would you admit that? Would you agree with that with me? Because where sin abounds, and fear is the wrong kind of fear is a sin, by the way. Right? So... grace can override. Grace can abound where fear seems to be controlling. God's grace, it rejects fear and directs our hearts toward the promises of God. And this is something we all need to say tonight together. Even if you don't feel it, you need to quote it because it's truth. But fear will not own me. Let's say it together. Fear will not own me because I'm going to look to the Lord. Even though I have fears, and so do you, we're not going to let them own us, control us. In God I will put my trust, as the psalmist says. And grace, get this, grace puts God and people into perspective. Even situations, you know, you're looking at a situation, you're looking at a person. In this context, he's talking about enemies. But we even saw that, you know, we have many enemies, not just in a person in our life, on our job, or out there in the whatever. Sometimes it's our own flesh. Sometimes it's just these different things that come into our life. But we're not going to be controlled by that. We're going to trust the Lord to give us grace to see who we are. Then we transition to not only do we tell God about what we fear, then we tell our soul about grace. Verse 4, he says, "And God, I will praise His word. And God have I put my trust." And then he says it here just like what he said, "I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." He's saying, I'm not going to let fear own me. So we can agree with him in that. And but then let's look at stanza number 4. That's verses 5-7, if you will. He's speaking of the enemy here. They rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. And he goes through that. And then he says they gather themselves together. They're looking to cause harm. And shall they escape by iniquity? And he's asking that question here. Are they going to be able to get away with this and the things of that nature? And the fourth stanza is this. The Christian life does mean that we will experience some type of injury in our lives by the enemy, by the wicked one, the world, the flesh. There will be injury that takes place. It's going to happen. We will suffer for our faith as David was for his. Think about this with me. We can see our suffering, as we have studied, even in the other wonders that is another way that we do identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see your sufferings as a believer in this life? And hey, I can even say physically. You know, I know we are attacked spiritually many times in our soul, but even like, you know, Jesus felt suffering, of course, ultimately at the cross, but even through that, He experienced the weaknesses of the body. You know, He experienced the thirst. He experienced the hunger. And so therefore, He experienced those things in the body. So even though, even tonight, where you might be hurting physically, experiencing some kind of pain, you are identifying with the Savior. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, would you mind just taking a look over there with me? Hold your place there in Psalm 56. Would you go over to Colossians? There in your New Testament. Colossians, right there after Ephesians. Philippians and Colossians. Notice with me verse 24. Colossians chapter 1. I'm sorry. Thank you. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 24. He goes and says, let me just read the last part of verse 23. Wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister, a servant, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. He's talking to the believers at Colossae. He's saying, I'm rejoicing in my sufferings for you. And notice what he says, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh. That's Paul's talking about his body, his life right now. For His body's sake, that's talking about the body of Christ, which is the church. He's talking about the sufferings that He experiences on behalf of the believers in that local assembly. And I hope you realize, friend, as a part of the body of Christ, when you go through hardships, attacks, oppression, persecution, things of that nature in some form or fashion, and you are living for Christ, you are in some ways entering in the sufferings of Christ for the body of Christ, for your brothers and sisters around you. Don't isolate yourself in your suffering, because you can quickly, and I can quickly, think that this is suffering just all about me. Maybe even in a more positive, you could be thinking about, well, maybe it's just about me growing. No. God will use your suffering and my suffering in the lives around me as well. Isn't that beautiful? It's for the body's sake. I got to read you this. It's not a translation. It's a more what they call a paraphrase of the Bible called the Message. And I would not rely on it as a translation as the Word of God, but it does. When you read it, it puts it in a conversation language, so you have to always go to the Scripture first. But I wanted to read this verse from the Message. Listen to this. Paul writing to Colossae, this is chapter 1, verse 24. He says, and this is the Message, I want you to know how glad I am that it's me sitting here in this jail and not you. There's a lot of suffering to be entered into in this world. The kind of suffering Christ took on. Listen to this last phrase. I welcome the chance to take my share in the churches of that type of suffering. So he says here, I welcome the chance to take my share in the church's part of that suffering. That's deep when you think about it. It's really deep. It's the fact that, look, my suffering is connected and truly helping the body grow stronger in Christ. And Paul said, look, I'm glad it's me sitting in jail and not you. He was saying, look, this is where God has me right now, but it is going to benefit you. And we can see that. So there is going to be injury. There is going to be those things, but God is using it to enlarge our soul. Notice with me here, stanza number 5, we'll look at verse 8. I love this. Number 5, we need to tell our soul that God knows all about it. Isn't that comforting? God knows all about it. Tell your soul God knows. You can write that down in verse 8. Psalm 56, verse 8, God knows. He says, Thou tellest my wanderings. He says, Put thou my tears into thy bottle. This is precious language. Are they not in thy book? What does he mean by that? It's interesting here that in his crying out to God, David shifts his attention to God's heart. He shifts his attention to God's heart. He says, God, you know where I'm at. You know my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. He just knew that God cared. And then he says, are they not in my book? God, you have a recording of what is happening to me. And it's a reminder to us this evening that there is not one second in your life, in my life, there is not one hurt that you experience. There is not one type of oppression or persecution that you experience in your life that God is not taking note. Every single second that any of us have grieved because of an attack of some sort or sin or whatever it might be, I'm telling you right now, every time you've cried out for relief, and every single one of those times, I believe God has a recording of it. God will not forget. He will notice as we come to Him because He understands. He's a great high priest. We know He understands because His Word says it. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all ways tempted like we are, yet without sin. You know, that's our high priest. That's Jesus. So He knows it. And I believe that the psalmist was encouraged in this and knowing that even when the enemy attacks in this life, I'm thankful that we can say, God, You know all about it. Not only do You know how it feels because You experienced it, but Lord, You know where my heart is. Put my tears in Your bottle, God. Lord, are they not in Your book? Lord, You know all about this. I know You are. And God has taken account of it. And that should be encouraging to us. God understands and He cares. Why do we believe that? Because we know His Word says it, does it not? You know the verse with me? You could say it with me. 1 Peter 5:7, casting your care upon Him, for He careth for you. That's right. That's what the book says. He cares. But then, not only that, we need to not only tell our soul that God knows, but then we need to tell your soul what you know. Look at verses 9 through 11. He says, When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. What are the next three words? Let's say it together. What are the next three words in verse 9? This I know. This I know. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord and say, even when our feelings are totally opposite, we need to say, this I know. God is for me. This I know. Things are thick right now. Things are hurting right now. Lord, I don't understand what's going on. I don't feel like You know, but Lord, this I know You're for me. He's for you tonight. You may not feel God. You may feel like God's a million miles away right now. But listen, that's your feelings. By faith, you come to the Word of God as David did in a troublesome time. You say, for this I know, God is for me. And your heart will be strengthened through that because God understands. He goes on to say in verse 11, in God have I put my trust. Verse 10, he says, I will praise His Word. In the Lord will I praise His Word. It goes back to the Word of God. Why, church? Because this is where our foundation is. This is our strength. And thank God we can be assured of it. Dave Harvey said this in the book. He said, faith is paradoxical. He said, it demands our best thoughts in our worst moments. Think about that. Faith calls us to God-exalting beliefs in earthbound, soul-agonizing times. It's true. Faith calls us to God-exalting beliefs even when things feel or seem hopeless. And the key is truly, even as we see here, is where do we flee when we fear? Many take the wrong route, but I want to tell you, we need to take the route that leads straight to the Lord Jesus Christ. Take the route that goes to Him when we are in fear, when we're scared, when we're overwhelmed. We go to the Lord. And it's interesting here, David's confidence was connected with his habit of praising God. I'm so thankful. That's why I'm grateful that we at least do a couple songs. Maybe sometimes we should do even more. But as I've mentioned before, church, let's don't ever underestimate the power of praise. Just letting us get in here and get our hearts in sync with the praises of God. I believe David's confidence and his faith was connected to that habit of praising God for God's attributes. His goodness, His greatness, His unlimited power, His kindness, His faithfulness, His sovereignty, His providence, His humility, His care, His transcendence. So many things David would just praise God for. And it's interesting, someone said it like this, David sings what is true until he feels what is true. And that's sometimes where we have to do. We have to sing what is true and let the feelings catch up whenever they do. But we sing because we know it's true. Are you saying tonight with David in verse 9, for this I know, God is for me. The devil's going to try to convince you otherwise. Your flesh is going to try to convince you otherwise. And the world is going to try to convince you otherwise. God is not for you. Why would He let this happen? Why what this? And it start naming stuff. Da, 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 da. Nope. Come back to your anchor, for this I know. He says, when I am afraid, I will trust. That was verse 11. He says, in God have I put my trust. And he says in verse 11, it changes into, I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. He went to what time I'm afraid in verse 3. Did you notice the transition? What time I'm afraid? He admitted there was fear. But then he's saying here, okay, I'm not going to be afraid anymore about this. And there does need to come a time. Again, we're all susceptible to fear. But let's get to a point. And God brings us to that point in His grace. But I want to encourage you tonight. Let God bring you to the point where you're not scared of certain things as much as you once were in your immaturity. Let Him grow you in that. Not that you're going to be perfect, sinless. You're going to still have that. But listen, for this I know, God is for me. God's leading me. And it's a security to look to God. And one thing that I'm learning more as I grow as a Christian, and I'm sure you could agree with me, God doesn't always change our circumstances. But what He does change is our fear into faith when we choose to believe Him. He may not change your circumstances, but He will change your fear into faith when you choose to believe Him. Question tonight, does God need to change your situation to prove His love to you? Sometimes we should all agree, no, He shouldn't, but sometimes we feel that way, don't we? God needs to prove His love to me by changing this situation. But that's not reality. That's not a proof of God's love. We have to look no further than Calvary to see the proof of the love of God. That's where we gaze. That's where we look to. That's where we are fixated. Our hearts are fixed, O God. And we certainly seek to do that. One writer put it this way, and I thought it was a very good point. He said, we must not hold God hostage for the change of circumstances we desire. We must not hold God, if you want to write that down, hostage for the change of circumstance we desire. We must sing to our God regardless of our situation. And somebody may say, and I would probably echo it, how do we do that? Well, I'm going to give you the simple answer. And I'm not saying it's easy, but it's the simple truth. It is reality. How do we do that? It's the same way we are saved. And what does Ephesians chapter 2 tell us the way we are saved? It is, somebody want to tell me, by grace. Say it again. By grace. Listen, our sanctification is the same way we're saved. We're saved by grace through faith. You're going to walk through this life and grow in grace even when the enemies are sent to enlarge our soul, messengers that come and cause just us to really question our faith sometimes and well what we're doing. But I'm telling you, you by faith, by grace, God's grace through faith, we see the Lord working. Well, in closing, the last verses 12 and 13 here, he speaks of how we can respond faithfully. Tell your soul to respond faithfully wherever you are right now. He says, thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For you have delivered, thou hast delivered my soul from death. Without not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. There's no doubt about it. God demands obedience from us. And this is the beautiful thing. Miss Kathy, you mentioned the other week about Deuteronomy just being such a precious love letter. You're so right. He gives so many commands through Deuteronomy. And this is the truth about God's commands. I love this. He demands obedience. Never forget this, church, because He knows that's what's best for us. Isn't that beautiful? The world says, man, you got all these rules and you got all these limitations, man. Cut loose. Live your life. Man. But God is saying, hey, don't do that and do this because it's going to be best for you. It's going to be best for your family. And the world says, that's nonsense. The flesh says, no, no, no. And then, of course, the old serpent, when he comes around and tries to tempt, he also says, oh, no, no. But we're going to, hey, for this I know, God is for me. When He tells me not to do something, that means He's for me. Because He wants my best. When He tells me to do something, it's because He's for me. And He wants my best. It's all for His glory ultimately, but we know when we glorify God, we know we're going to benefit from it. Even if it means suffering. We know God's best interest is in mind. Through suffering, we do learn obedience, true obedience. And closing, let's look at that example that Jesus gave us about learning obedience even through suffering. Would you hold your place there in Psalm and go with me to Hebrews chapter 5. Back to the New Testament. Again, what is the purpose of suffering? How is God using it to enlarge our soul? Well, it teaches us obedience to obey the Lord. Would you look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8? It's a short verse. But notice there, Hebrews chapter 5. And we'll read verse 9 as well. But it says this, though he were a son, talking about Jesus Christ, yet learned he obedience, there's our obedience. Now would you say the rest of the verse with me? By the things which he suffered. Jesus learned obedience from the human perspective. He was God in the flesh, but he learned that form of obedience to the Father through suffering for the glory of God. Verse 9, and being made perfect, he became the author and eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. You know, I think upon the fact that these truths, they're connected. And we must realize that obedience calls us to do what sometimes we don't desire so we can become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it doesn't feel good sometimes under the pressure of opposition and attack. But if we'll stay faithful, I'm telling you, we're going to come out stronger on the other side. So, what can we conclude with this fifth wonder of God using the enemy to enlarge our soul? I'll tell you this, let our gaze be not on the enemy. Let not even our gaze be on ourselves, but let our gaze be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.